Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
It's certainly up there with obviously all the major championships I've won, players, World Golf Championships. But this is under different circumstances, you know. I've explained throughout the year that I just didn't know whether, you know, when this would ever happen again, or if I could somehow piece together a golf swing, you know, this year, I feel like I could do it. My hands are good enough, and I just didn't know if I could, you know, piece together a golf swing, but somehow I've been able to do that, and here we are.
Tiger, that stampede on 18, I know you looked back at it. What were you thinking, and how did you refocus yourself?
Well, to be honest with you, I could hear it. I just didn't really see much. I was kind of looking forward, and I figured the security they would hold them back. And when I got down to the golf ball, I looked back, and I think the left half of the fairway was covered, but not the right half. The tournament wasn't over yet. You know, I still had a 2-shot lead, but you know, anything could still happen, and I still need to play the hole. And once I hit the ball in the bunker, I tried to miss it right of the flag. I was able to do that. And once I got the ball on the green, then the tournament was over. When I was hitting that bunker shot, you know, just like an every weekend hacker, just whatever you do, don't blade this thing out of bounds. I went for a little chunk and run, and I didn't try and, you know, play the lobber all the way back to the flag. Just a little chunk and run, and tournament was over.
Tiger, you talked about these special people in your life, but how special was it to have some of the guys that are going to be flying with you on the flight to Paris tonight? And also, in a second question, can you call what Rory was saying to you down that last part of the last hole?
Yeah, he was flying tonight with the guys. It's going to be fun. We're going to have...
You buying drinks?
Yeah, I think we're all going to sleep well.
Fair play, man. There you go. Tiger Woods, who is going to enjoy his journey, or has enjoyed his journey over to Paris following his victory at the Tour Championship yesterday. His first Tour victory in 5 years, completing what has been an absolutely remarkable comeback. Joining us on the line to speak about that is Lawrence Donegan. You're very welcome to the show again, Lawrence. Talk to us through what you were thinking watching that, because when we see the crowd swarming around Tiger heading up to the 18th green there, like, this is something that is unusual, has been missing from golf. There's, like, we tweeted out last night, this is what box office looks like, and that's essentially what it felt like last night watching Tiger back in contention at a big, big tournament like this.
Yeah, you're dead right, but before we go any further, I advise you to go on Twitter. There's a picture of the US team coming off their private jet in France this morning. Oh. You got to see it. They've all got dark glasses on. They look wrecked. So I think they had a few. As to the
couple of shandies.
As to what happened on Sunday, it was, well, you kind of go back through the history of great sport and comebacks. I mean, I don't know about you, Richie. I can only think of Muhammad Ali, maybe. Bob Champion, maybe. Something like that. But Tiger, consider where he's been, what's happened, you know, the personal scandals, the injuries, the divorce, the video released last year by the police in Florida of him, you know, mumbling, stumbling after he's picked up at the side of a roadway. It was quite amazing. And the actual watching it, it was brilliant marketing by the PGA Tour. I mean, they never let people on the fairways. It's always so kind of roped off and closed off.
Yeah.
But they clearly made a decision. If this happens, we're going to, you know, so they let them on down the fairways. It was stunning. Brilliant, brilliant TV, brilliant shots. And it all kind of went to plan. The only kind of, is this FedEx Cup thing is such a mess. You know, Tiger wins the tournament, Justin Rose wins $10 million. But other than that, it was a perfect staging, a perfect performance in Tiger Woods, and just probably the best comeback in the history of sport.
Yeah, it looked like a homecoming of sorts, watching pretty much everybody around. Like, he mentioned afterwards that there are lots of players that made their way out to the 18th green to greet him. He was suitably emotional, as you'd imagine he would be. Like, we talk about in terms of comeback, it's not like he's been away. It's not like he was Elvis gone off to the army and he's coming back to try and perform. This is a guy who, as he mentioned himself in that audio we played just before, was trying to piece together a golf swing at the start of this year. So to come and make that much of a journey throughout this 12 months alone, never mind the last five, where he's trying to piece together a golf swing to the point where he's in contention for and now winning tournaments, heading to the Ryder Cup as one of the most informed players in the world, never mind the vice captain we thought he'd be 6 months ago. This is just like head scratching stuff.
Yeah, well, you Nick Faldo, ever the blabbermouth, he let it out earlier in the year that that the 2017 Masters Champions dinner, Tiger's and told a couple of the guys at the dinner that he was done. So if Tiger thought he was done in 2017, you know, I think the rest of us all had the right to think he was done. And you're right, he'd never disappeared, which kind of made the kind of comeback all the more enthralling. Yeah. Because it was sort of played out in public view. So we had the scandal of 2010. He came back to a certain degree in 2013, won five times in the PGA Tour, and then it went completely off the rails. The kind of aborted comebacks in 15, the chipping yips, the back where you could barely walk on a golf course. It was all played out in public, and I think that kind of drew people in. That was part of the appeal. Then he came back this year. You know, he's thinking he's done. He comes back this year and he's actually got a golf game together. Because, you know, guys who kind of follow golf, you know, nerds like me, the real destroyer of a career is a chip. I mean, people have the putting yips. Bernard Lange had the putting yips half a dozen times, but he somehow pieced together some kind of putting thing, you know, that got him through. Mm. But the chipping yips is the absolute death knell. You know, you get the chipping yips, it feeds all the way through your game. Look at a guy like Martin Kaymer, who's fallen off the world, edge of the world. Martin Kaymer has the chipping yips. Martin Kaymer is never coming back. Okay, I think he's out of the top 100 in the world now. But Tiger, such as Tiger's talent, such as his grit, such as his, you know, determination, growth mindset, whatever it is, you know, he pieced it together. He found a game, and it all was played out in public. And I think that's that kind of narrative ebb and flow grabbed us all in, and kind of yesterday, not quite the denouement, because I think next year will be the denouement. Let's see if he wins a major championship next year. If he gets one, he can get another three. He matches Nicklaus. I mean, the next 2, 3, 4 years, if physically he kind of can stay with it, psychologically he's clearly repaired. It's going to be what a story it's going to be for the next 2 or 3 years.
Mm. Yeah, Lawrence, you spoke about the lads getting off the private jet, and he's speaking about that himself afterwards, and he's going to enjoy it. Even listening to him post round last night as well, when he was talking about close to tears going up the 18th fairway. We've never really seen that side of him. I think that's been genuine across the course of the year. Is it genuine, or is it being one marketing ploy that's been, someone's been behind him? You're going to have to show the softer side. You're going to have to show a more humble Tiger Woods. Or has it been genuine Tiger Woods, being the person that perhaps we've never seen before?
Kevin, what made you so cynical, Kevin? I don't understand.
I was sucked in last night from the start. So, I mean, I was sucked in. It was theatre last night, pure theatre. Right. But
yeah, well, you're dead right. You know, you go back 3 years. The whole thing about Tiger, he's been closed off. You know, he's never really been... He's an authentically great athlete, but he's never been an authentic kind of human being, at least not in public. You know, you speak to guys who hang out with Tiger socially, and they tell you he is a top lad. You know, he's good fun, a good laugh, has a good deal of humility. You know, he's just one of the guys. But in public, he's always been closed off. He's never been authentic. I think 2006, when he won the Open Championship at Hoy Lake, it was a couple of months after his father died. I mean, he collapsed in tears there in public. But other than that, you would never really say there's been a... Apart from the kind of triumphant stuff, there's never been a really authentic display of emotion from Tiger yesterday. And again, I think it's a kind of psychological repair, isn't it? He's kind of known what it is to be humbled, really humbled, and in full public view. And I think, you know, that I think he genuinely has changed. I mean, I'm no sort of trained psychologist, but I think he genuinely has changed. He knows a bit. He's a bit more humble. He knows what it's like to be down, literally down in the gutter. And I think his fellow players, that was really touching, actually. The other players are standing waiting for him afterwards. And I mean, I think that was kind of heartfelt. We'll see how they feel next year when he's beating their brains in every week. But that was, I think all of that speaks, and I think you're right, I think it all speaks to a kind of more... empathetic Tiger, somebody that not only his fellow players can embrace, but maybe the general public can embrace even more than they did when he was the kind of dominant guy back in the early noughties. But yeah, it was, and again, it adds to the kind of thrill and the brilliance of the narrative. He is a changed personality.
It seems that way when you listen to him speaking there, and he's talking about going and enjoying this victory and going and enjoying it with the fellow US team members on the plane over.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily the Tiger Woods we knew when he was at his quote-unquote peak. Similarly, it seems as if that Ryder Cup vice captaincy over the last couple of years has given him a sense of being able to be on the sidelines and take in what other people are like around the golf course and what other people perhaps should be like in and around the golf course. And it has humbled him as well. And another point to his personality, you mentioned it there, he didn't go away through all of this. I think that adds to the likability of the comeback and the acceptance of it, is that he's made mistakes by God in their dozens, it seems. But he hasn't gone away. He's fronted up to every single one of them. He's been honest about them. And he's just been a presence when he could have quite easily hidden away, gone to a massive mansion in California and never darkened the public store again. And yet here he is back at the top of his, and the peak of his powers.
Well, you look at how he responded post-2009, you know, just the Thanksgiving crash of 2009. Thank you. How he responded to that, he disappeared, as you say. He disappeared for months on end. He came back with that just horrific press conference. Remember the blue screen, the blue curtain behind him? I mean, that was, you know, the full on quotes and quotes confession. So that, again, that's inauthentic, and it didn't work. But again, all this stuff that kind of played out in public, it's kind of worked. It's authentic, and people want to embrace it. The thing is, well, you know, when he was dominant back in the day, he was a closed off person. He would not interact. That was part of his intimidation factor. Mm. He would kind of shut guys down. The guys he was playing against, you know, the Ernies, the Phils, the VJs, he would try and shut those guys down. And it kind of worked. If you look at the guys who played with him in the Halcyon days, the guys that he played with in the final round of any tournament, if they were paired in the final round, their stroke averages fell, like, I think it was like 2.5 shots over the week. So say these guys shot 370s Thursday, Friday, Saturday, they played with Tiger on a Sunday for the tournament. They were shooting on average 2.5 shots worse. And that's partly to do with the fact that Tiger just kind of intimidated people. Now, and deliberately so, that was part of his armory. But you look at him now, you know, as I say, he's a bit more empathetic, and he's still beating these guys. So he doesn't even need to kind of lay it on thick with the intimidation. He can just, I mean, it's pretty scary. You know, if he can win tournaments playing with this kind of mentality, a softer, more empathetic mentality, God, the sky's the limit, you know? Look at Rory yesterday. I mean, Rory played the front nine of 4 over par. You know, you know, and Tiger's not trying to, because they're mates, right? Tiger's not trying to crush him. But, you know, he's just got this aura. It's, you know, and it did for Rory yesterday, because Rory was playing great this week and he was nowhere yesterday. And you got to think that part of that was to do with playing with Tiger.
Rory almost looks like a footnote to that yesterday. There's one of those photos that we put up earlier on whereby there's the crowd swamping Tiger Woods. And it took me a second look at it to see that Rory's actually in there and walking away. He's not even kind of part of the attention at all. And a part of that obviously is to how he dropped away during the course of that final round yesterday. But also, like, he doesn't have that aura that Tiger has. Like, it seems as if golf needs Tiger back.
I mean, it does. Well, in saying that, you know, FedEx have just re-signed for another 10 years with the PGA Tour. So when you win the FedEx Cup next year, it's not $10 million, it's $15 million. So there's $10 million is dropping into Justin. This is literally true. $10 million will be in Justin Rose's bank account this morning. So next year, you win the FedEx Cup, it's $15 million. So to say, I mean, golf as a sport overall, it's definitely struggling. It has been struggling since Tiger kind of diminished. But at the top level, it's not really struggling. It's never been struggling. There's never been more money at the top end of the game. Mm. But yeah, him coming back is, again, well, the TV ratings in the States are just out this morning, and they're up. Yesterday's finale of the FedEx Cup is up 207% over last year. It's the yesterday's broadcast in the States was I sound like some TV nerd. But yesterday's broadcast in the States was the highest rated golf programming this year, apart from the major, apart from the Sunday of the Masters. Tiger Woods, he turned pro at the end of 1996. This is 22 years later. He's still the man, and he could be the man for the next 5 years. I mean, think about that. What a sustained what a sustained career at the very, very top. And it's had this great narrative arc, you know, the triumph, the disaster, and now we're back up to triumph. I'm kind of speechless. Maybe that, I mean...
Are you okay? Do you hear it?
Yeah, what? Well, obviously Ali always comes into discussion, but what career in sport has ever been more compelling than this and more brilliant than this?
The Ryder Cup record of Tiger Woods is not necessarily that glowing when we take into account everything else. What kind of Tiger are we expecting here? Like his foursome four balls record, I think he's only won 9 out of, I think, about 20-odd matches in terms of grouped play over the course of his Ryder Cup appearances. Hasn't played at a Ryder Cup since 2012. I mean, this is going to be a new Tiger Woods in pretty much every respect that comes into the team room this week in Paris.
Yeah, it depends if he sobers up by Friday. Yeah. That's one factor.
Probably not the best of jokes with Tiger Woods, to be honest.
Yeah, that's true. That's bad. I'll withdraw that. I don't want to get tweeted out. His foursome and four ball record is awful. And again, partly plays into this whole guys. Just you turn up in the first team, Tiger Woods. You play with Tiger Woods. One, you think you're not really worthy. Two, oh my God, please don't let me embarrass myself in front of Tiger Woods. And three, I don't want to let him down. And again, it all went back to the his persona back in the day. Now that he's changed, clearly, you would think that it's a generation. Sorry, I'm sort of getting distracted, but it's a generational thing as well. So Justin Thomas, hasn't really competed against Tiger. So he'll be a bit less, you would think he would be a bit less intimidated. Mm. A bit less intimidated. I would expect him to do better, a little bit better this week in foursomes and four balls, but you never know in the Ryder Cup. There's all sorts of variables. But his singles record over the years is really good. So you would expect him, if I'm a European player and I'm stepping up on Sunday afternoon, I don't want to be playing Tiger Woods. I just don't. You know, he's the best player, best foreign player in the world right now. And, he'll want to prove a point. And he's got a great singles record at the Ryder Cup.
Does it help, though, Lawrence, that he has the younger guys? You mentioned there about him being greeted. I think it was Ricky Fowler was one of the three that greeted him when he came up. Does it help him, the younger guys that are almost looking up to him in order? Or is there an intimidation factor, do you feel, with that?
I think in the context of a team match, you kind of sense an affection, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's more of a kind of, not father-son, obviously, but it's a more older brother, younger brother thing, I think, and that's got to help. You know, you think back to, I'm trying to think of some of the Tiger Woods' worst Ryder Cup moments. When him and Phil were paired together at Oakland Hills in 2004, that goes down as one of the all-time disasters. You know, the first day Hal Sutton, the American captain, paired the two of them together, two best players in the world, and it was horrible. The body language is horrible. So that was a pairing of rivals, and that no longer exists anymore. He is a rival with Ricky Fowler, but it's more of an older brother, younger brother. You got to think that helps. So that removes the kind of barriers to good team play that existed before. So I say I would expect him to be he'll play if he wants. He'll play however many matches he wants to. If he plays five, then I would expect him to do. I mean, I would be lumping on Tiger to be the top points earner amongst the US team, definitely.
Lawrence, we're set up for a nice week. Hope you can enjoy it as best you can. Lawrence Donegan, who gets extra points for having the OK Computer poster in the background there at the room. So thank you for that, Lawrence. And don't forget, our Ryder Cup coverage is brought to you in association with Now TV. Only pay for the days you want and stream all 10 Sky Sports channels with the Now TV Sky Sports Pass. We'll be back after this.
Off the ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.